New curbs on climate change, plus the Pope goes to prison voluntarily. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. Today, the presidents of the world's two largest economies are set to announce a landmark agreement to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. For the first time, China will put in what's called a cap and trade system, which effectively puts a price on emissions. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
The world's largest polluter plans to start putting a price on emitting carbon in 2017. Dr. Yang Fuqiang, senior advisor at the National Resource Development Council in Beijing, says it's about time.
Chinese government understanding now they are the second largest economy in the world, and now they have to do something.
Yang hopes today's announcement will persuade other developing countries to follow China's lead. Pricing and regulating greenhouse gas emissions is a big job that involves every aspect of the economy. UCLA law professor Alex Wong predicts some polluters in China will try and cheat to get around the rules. But he's optimistic because the cap-and-trade system will be under the jurisdiction of one of China's most powerful agencies, the National Development and Reform Commission. The other reason he's hopeful? The very public support of President Xi Jinping.
A high-level announcement like this helps on the implementation side, and it sort of gives anyone who's supportive of the idea in China sort of the political support to go ahead and run with things.
China has experience running carbon markets in 7 pilot programs around the country. The idea for the cap-and-trade system was actually developed in America, but when President Obama tried to get Congress to enact the system in his first term, it died in the Senate. The reason? Lawmakers from both parties feared it could threaten America's economic competition with China. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
The U.S. Justice Department is reportedly looking into whether Google violated antitrust law by giving priority to its own businesses on its Android platform for phones and tablets. Bloomberg News is reporting this. There is more to life than GDP, gross domestic product, an imperfect measure of the economy that ignores contributions where no money changes hands, such as volunteering, being a house husband or housewife, or caring for a sick relative. That said, GDP has its uses, and today the government reveals its third and final assessment on what happened in the second quarter. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more on why we pay attention to a revision of a revision.
GDP, everything the country produces and consumes, is really important to tell us if the economy was contracting or expanding and by how much back in the spring.
The advance estimate was 2.3%. It then got revised up to 3.7%.
Economist Nariman Baravesh at IHS says that's a big revision by 60% based on more complete data instead of initial guesstimates. But it's those guesstimates, often inaccurate, that investors and the markets react to.
It is definitely a problem.
Each revision makes the data better, but also older, and thus less useful. Jim O'Sullivan at High Frequency Economics has some stats he prefers.
The weekly jobless claims number is a very timely and generally quite reliable current indicator. When claims are going up, it's a bad sign. When claims are going down, it's a good sign.
O'Sullivan also recommends for our consideration the purchasing managers' indices and monthly auto sales. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's do other numbers. During a speech yesterday, Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen said she personally anticipates raising interest rates this year. That brought some clarity, and the Dow future is up about 1.5%. S&P and NASDAQ futures are also up more than 1%. The FT 100 in London is up 2.5%. Pope Francis plans to visit Curran Fromhold Correctional Center in Philadelphia this weekend. Inmates will present their special visitor with a special piece of furniture crafted by prisoners in a vocational workshop. It's one way that prison is looking to confer job skills to reduce round trips back to jail. Tom McDonald of WHYY in Philadelphia reports.
When Pope Francis visits the Curran Fromhold Correctional Facility as part of his trip to Philadelphia, he'll sit in a chair custom made by inmates. Alexander Davis is part of the prison team which built the Pope's chair.
It gives you joy to knowing that you're making something for someone so big that's coming to the city and that everybody's going to get a chance to see. And it's the craft that we actually learn in here.
Anthony Newman, assistant director of Philcor, the prison's furniture company, designed it.
This chair is made out of American walnut. It has an oil-based stain. It's approximately 5 feet, 10 inches high. It has two crosses to the left or right on the top of the chair. It's called a Pope's cross. It has his emblem in the center of the chair, which will be right above his head as he sits down.
The prison shop makes everything from office furniture to the podium used by Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter during news conferences. Prisons Commissioner Lou Giorla says the training teaches inmates skills they can put to work after incarceration, not just sawing, sanding, and staining. It's part of a vocational education system that teaches those behind bars everything from cooking in a commercial kitchen to how to work in a dry cleaning plant.
Instill a work ethic, to give them job readiness skills, how to interact with a supervisor or a coworker, and to do a day's work. For a lot of the offenders that come through our doors, they've never had a job. So those simple skills, just instilling those simple skills is a first goal.
The prison system doesn't track how many of those who are given a skill put it to use after they reenter society. Once the Pope's visit is complete, the chair will be shipped to the Vatican, and the prisoners hope it's the first step to their new life with a good job. I'm Tom McDonald for Marketplace.
Another story, we've been following the big money on the table at the United Nations to help lift people from poverty around the world. The UN, over the next few days, with the Pope, among others, urging them on, will formally approve as much as $5 trillion over 15 years to eradicate extreme poverty, curb climate change, and spur development. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our online digital producer is Tobin Lowe. From studios at Montclair State University today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.